Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, Amy.
Hey, Cass. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. We're talking about kids going back to school today. Oh, yeah. School holidays can be long, but they can be enjoyable. And the summer holidays often feel like, in my mind, they go like maybe 4 or 5 days too long. But it's not weeks too long. Just a tiny little
bit. Just a couple of days.
Yeah, where they're just getting that bit antsy and they're ready to go back. And for our kids, the anxiety starts. Not major anxiety, but there's often a little bit of murmuring under the whatever, skin, brain, don't know the words.
Yes, when they start acting funny, you've got to remember, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they've started to think about it.
Yeah. So we're sorry for all you Northern Hemisphere listeners who went back to school last week, presumably, or, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You can
listen to this in September when you're going back to school. So
one of the things we've done for this episode is we've created a great downloadable that you can download for free and use. And it's a way of recording a few things about each child as they enter the school year. I've been doing this with both my kids since they're in four-year-old kinder. Every year we print out the sheet, they fill out the questions, we trace their hand on the back, and then it goes in a little pocket sleeve. And so the theory being, by the time they get to year 12, there's 13 of these. This is my favorite band, my favorite food, my favorite movie, my best friends, my teacher, what I love, what I don't love, what I want to be when I grow up. We've evolved from when I grew up, I want to be a lion.
Excellent. Elijah?
Yep. That's exactly who it was. And now we're at I want to be a cricket player. And you kind of see the evolution and their little hands get bigger on the back. So we're going to provide that for you so you can download that and use it if you'd like.
And you in Victoria get to know who your teachers are before you go back to school, don't you?
Yes, I think we talked about this last year. We find out in the last week of school of the prior year. But in Sydney, you don't find out till you start, do you?
Not even a couple of weeks into starting.
How?
Because they don't know how long they don't know who's going to enroll in the first couple of days, so they don't want to set the school. Like, this is for public schools.
Yeah.
Private schools, obviously, are different. But public schools, yeah, because they don't want to have everybody settled into classes and then have to rejig things when 15 new kids enroll on the first day.
Interesting. We don't seem to have a lot of enrolments at the last minute.
We live in a growing suburb.
Yep, maybe that's different because we're at a capped school. It's not zoned officially, I don't think, but you've got to be in the area.
Yeah.
It's got to be a local primary school. So some of the things that kids can get anxious about is that new teacher, is who's going to be in my class, where's the classroom, am I going to know my way around the school, is it a new school? So many things that there are moments for things to get derailed.
Because maybe that's happening with you at the moment. Like, what is different this year? Have you got a kid starting prep or foundation or kindy, whatever it's called in your state? Or are they starting high school or have you moved schools? So it can be an anxious time for us parents as well.
Neither of us have children that are starting prep or starting year seven or finishing high school this year. However, every year is completely different and different kids can have different anxieties. Maybe they are starting at a new school, even though it might be grade three or year nine. There's all these new things. So we wanted to talk today about some ways that you can help your kids settle back into school and be organized and not create a whole lot of extra work and stress around the organizing of getting to school in the morning, being at school, being at home and getting back into that routine.
Yeah, and it's also a great time to stop and reflect on what is changing for you as in your family. Like, what different after school activities are they starting? What does your week going? What is your week and their week's going to look like? What needs to be juggled around? Do you need to start thinking about meal planning because you're realized actually when you sit down and look at it, you're out every night of the week. So maybe do we need to do HelloFresh or do we need to do batch cooking on a Sunday or what? What does your week as a parent look like as well? And then how can we, you know, empower our kids to have great weeks at school as well?
And there can be all the new things of learning. Well, how do we manage getting from school to swimming and from swimming to eat dinner and from eat dinner to we have to get a kid out to netball training at 7 o'clock? Like, there's just so many logistical things that change at the beginning of a new year, particularly for us in Australia, that it all happens at once.
Yeah, summer sports start back and it's still light at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. So, and you've had 6 weeks of holidays where the kids haven't, you know, there's been no time restrictions, as much
less
time
routine.
Restrictions going to bed. And then you've got to start thinking about, okay, maybe by today, you know, like we've got roughly 2 weeks before the kids go back to school. So we've got to start winding back their bedtime routines so that they're going to school at going to bed at a decent hour. And
we really find that hard over summer because my kids are really into the cricket.
Oh, yes.
And so we let them often watch the cricket of a night over the summer holidays and we don't really care. Like, they'll get up when they get up in the morning, usually by 7:30. And so it doesn't matter if they're up till 11 watching the cricket. But how do you do that when they go back to school?
Yeah.
Do you? Maybe you've got kids that can totally handle a late night.
Yeah.
And you can do that one night a week and say, yeah, you can sit up and watch the cricket or whatever other people are up and watching.
Yeah. I think the kids will need to go to cricket together when I'm down in January.
That's a great idea.
Because Ollie is now determined that he is going to be the Australian wiki.
Oh, well, him and Elijah. Elijah's going to be the Australian spin bowler, I think, is what he wants to do. Yep.
And I was like, awesome, you want to be a wicket keeper. It's like the hardest job on a cricket team to get into.
Yeah, because there's just one.
Because there's
them.
Only one. Yeah. Whereas you can have a couple of spin bowlers. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, well, they can play on the same team.
That would be so cool.
That'd be pretty cute.
Well, first, let's get them into the New South Wales and the Victorian team.
Yeah, we haven't even got Elijah in local cricket because he busted his hand this summer. So next year.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also wanted to, we've spoken about holding space for our kids as they're going through this anxiousness of getting ready for school, but we also just wanted to remind you to have grace for yourself and for them with all these changes that are going on.
Yeah, and you might want to think about routines, like what time would we like to have dinner? Because I know for our family with daylight saving, it gets harder to have dinner on time. Yeah. I just lose track of time.
Yeah.
And although I don't do the cooking in my house and Cal does the cooking, often I'm the one that says, okay, we should start cooking dinner now or whatever. And it's like 8 o'clock and we're eating dinner rather than really 6:30 so that we can have an organized night. So some things that you might want to think about are, what time do you want your kids to wake up in the morning? What time do you want them to leave for school? What time do you expect that you'll be home? What time do you want to eat dinner? What time do you want them to go to bed?
And I want my kids to wake up at 7:30.
Yep.
They don't. They wake up at 6. I want my kids to go to school by themselves by 8:30. No, I have to drive them. So they're all great questions to ask, but we can't supply the best answer for you, because the best answer is determined on you and your family, mm-hmm. not on what we actually wish for. Yes.
My ideal is that my 13-year-old would always walk himself to school, but that doesn't always happen. And so, but I think having the answering those questions then allows you to decide what you're going to be flexible on.
Mm.
So maybe on a Thursday night you do have takeaway, because you're really not getting home till 7:30 after swimming or after karate or whatever you're doing. And it helps you to know your children. I find this particularly helpful.
Mm.
It's easy for me. I only have 2 children. If you've got 6 or 7, that's much harder. You're balancing a whole lot of different needs and personalities and strengths and all that kind of thing. But for us, I know that Jesse's up by about 6:30 every morning. That's just a standard. He can go to bed at 1 a.m. He's still up at exactly the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Elijah often sleeps in till 7:30. Now, I know for some families, they're like, that's not a sleep in. Wait till you see my teenager. But this is how the routine works for our family. So we never wake Jesse up. He's always the first up. But if we don't get Elijah up by 7:30, it's really hard to get him out the door by 8:30 for school. He's a slow starter in the morning, so he likes a bit of a cuddle and sit on the couch before he really starts moving. Whereas Jesse can be up, dressed, fed, eaten breakfast, packed his bag, made his lunch, fed the rabbits by like 7:15. He's a machine in the morning. And you've just got to know how your different kids work. So for Jesse, we used to have a no screens in the morning rule. That doesn't work for him. He's ready. He's just going, what else am I going to do? I've done my basketball practice, I've practiced piano, I've done trombone. Like, and so we do have then grace for him to do that, because that's how he is. But Elijah doesn't have the same rules.
Yeah.
Because he needs to. Because
he's not.
That's right. Sleepy. And that's fine.
The thing that he gets in the morning is more sleep.
More sleep. And he gets the privilege of going slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and I not think, being roused on the whole time.
Yes. So know your kids. And work to their strengths and play to their strengths. And if your kids are morning people, maybe see if they can do their chores in the morning. Could they unstack the dishwasher? Could they, what else do kids do?
Doing the homework, is that the best time for them? Because is it, we found when we made our kids do homework, we don't make them, they don't do homework anymore. But when we were enforcing the homework, that it was better to do it in the morning than after school, because they were fresh and alert and ready to give it their best. And they weren't like 15 minutes of homework isn't tiring them out for the rest of the day.
Great.
Whereas 15 minutes of homework turns into 45 minutes of homework of, come on, like, come on.
Should only take you 15 minutes.
Do it. Just do it. If you just did it, it would be done by now. In the afternoon, which that's what I heard my neighbours saying anyway. That wasn't me.
Some other crazy lady on your street.
Some other person who sounded exactly like me.
And I think, like looking at that and thinking, when my kids get home from school, I'm not going to say, all right, quick, straight into your homework. Here's your iPad. Here's a bowl of trail mix or lollies or whatever you choose to feed your kids.
Mm.
Have some downtime. I like downtime when I'm finished work. I don't like getting straight back into it. I want 10 minutes of just me time. And then just setting those expectations can be really helpful.
Yeah, so I think it is really helpful to go, okay, what needs to be done in the afternoon, and let's make it a family affair. Like, for me, in our house, we only have like 1 or 2 lunchboxes each. Like, we don't have 20 lunchboxes each. So every night they need to be washed.
Yeah.
And I prefer to get all that done ASAP. So their job when they walk in the door is to unpack their school bag. And then they're free to do. Then they're free That's to great. Have afternoon tea. Then they're free to do whatever it is that we've got planned for the afternoon. And that might be watching the iPad. It might be going outside and playing street cricket. Or it might be moving on to the next activity, like cricket or soccer or gymnastics and all the stuff that we do in the afternoon. And they just know that. Like, I have to encourage them. But they have reason first. Yes, they have reason.
You've given them reason.
Yeah.
If you don't do that in the morning, it's crazy because we don't have a clean lunchbox.
Yeah.
Like, my kids are the same, 1 lunchbox each. If it's not washed, they have to wash it in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's not fun. So it's there's motivation and reason behind what we're asking.
Yeah. And we make their dinners sometimes we choose to feed our children. No, Simon has taken it upon himself to make their lunches. He's like Josh Palau from this Organized Life, Laurie's husband. He makes their lunches, and Simon's the same, because I was letting the kids make their own lunches and not getting up and supervising them, because they're 8 and 10. And now and next year they'll be 8.5 and 10.5. And Simon wasn't overly pleased with their choices that they were making. And so fair enough, he decided to take that back and make that part of his load. And so he does that of an evening. So the dishes definitely need to be done. So yeah, whether or not I get the dishes done straight away, but they need to be done in the evening.
Do you live in the hills or the North Shore or Sydney Central? What are some of the other areas in Sydney, Kirst?
The Shire, the Inner West, Northern Beaches.
So I only found out recently from Kirst that you Sydney-siders have like zones and areas that you like identify yourselves by. So if you live in any one of those and you need some professional organising services to help in your home, you need to get Kirsty in, because she's freaking amazing. So if you want to have Kirsten to help you declutter, email us at hello@theartofdecluttering.com.au and we're going to put you in touch.
I would so love that. I would love, love, love to meet more and more listeners and to be able to help you hands on and get the most out of your house and make you able to live in freedom and grace and joy in your home. So call me, contact us, however, find me. I can't find you.
So send us that email or DM us on Insta or private message us on Facebook. But Kirst is like there. She's ready, Sydney-siders. She's ready to come and transform your home with you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, let's get back to the show. If anyone has children starting in foundations this year, can I give you
first year of school.
Kids starting in that year level, let me just tell you what I did, and it might work for you or it might not, is I said to my kids, did you know when you get to prep kids make their own lunch? Mums and dads don't make the lunch anymore for kids once they're at school. That's your responsibility. And they're like, cool, because like at that age, that's a treat. And I have never not once made a lunch for either of my children in the entirety of their school life. And Elijah even, I'm sure I've shared this on the podcast before, Elijah said last year when he was in grade 4, Mum, can you believe so many of the kids in my class, their mum or their dad make their lunch? How weird is that? I was like, that is really weird. So, you know, you might want to take a leaf out of how it works at the Revelle house. And if Simon had a look at what's in my kids' lunch boxes, it's not very colourful. Like there's a lot of white stuff. There's like an apple, which is, you know, predominantly white on the inside. There's a sandwich that maybe has avocado and tuna and spinach or something in it. There's crackers, there's a muesli bar. I don't care. They're doing it themselves. They're making pretty good choices. I just let it go. It's awesome.
That was my choice.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But that's okay. He's their parent as well. He's allowed to make his own choices around their food and what responsibility he takes on.
I'm sure that they're more well-nourished than most kids at their school.
And he's so cute. He writes them a note sometimes too, like, I love you, buddy. Have a great day. And
I used to do that on the banana peel when the kids went to kindy, and I'd write, and then they were like, can you stop doing that? It like bruises the banana. I was like, oh, okay, bad mummy.
I thought I was being a really fun, nice mummy.
No, I am not.
We really love the idea of having places that things live in your house. So it's really makes it super easy for the kids to know, okay, this is where the lunch boxes are. This is where the lunch boxes go back into. Uh-huh. This is where my bag lives. This is where my bag goes back to. This is where my school shoes are. This is where they go back to. This is where my uniform can be found. This is where it goes back to. And so on and so forth.
A home for everything and everything in its home. Mm-hmm. When your kids say to you, I can't find my drink bottle, you say, is it where it should be? Like, that's a really simple question. So then it reinforces that there is somewhere that that should live. It reinforces, can you go look before you come ask mum or dad? Because we're busy and we don't need to look for you. But it also reinforces that if it's not where it should be, that's on you. Now, not mean, not like you can't have water at school if you can't find your drink bottle.
Well, but you can, because there's a water bubbler at school.
Yeah, but they're gross.
Oh, my goodness. It's water.
Yeah.
There's people in this world who don't even have access to water. Suck it up, kids. Drink out of the bubbler.
There you go. Parenting 101 from Mrs. Kirsty Ferrucci. Suck it up. There's people worse off.
Yes.
So what I was saying before we gave our kids a bit of concrete to suck up was that if we get into the routine of allowing them to take responsibility for where things belong, that it reinforces that that's just where you put it, and it saves them time and worry as well. And it does work. Children are like little sponges. If you just reinforce to them, hey, this is where we put our lunchbox. Did you look there? Have you put it back there? They will start to get into the habit of that and the routine of that.
And it just also, as you said, it places the responsibility on them.
Mm-hmm. Because they are responsible little humans.
Yeah, so when they go to school, they might be thinking, where did I put my drink bottle down? They might, or they may not, because...
Are your kids who lose stuff at school? Like, what have they
Even
lost?
Even though they're amazing, like, you know, they're really great at habits and routines at home, I think they go to school and go...
What are they losing?
Water bottles, hats, jackets.
Oh, so quite expensive things.
Water bottles, jackets and hats, yes.
Right.
$20 every couple of weeks for a hat.
No.
Yeah. I refuse to, but then Simon's like, you can't. You have to buy him a hat.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
Does he say it in that voice?
He can play in the shade.
Does he say it in that voice?
I was like, no, he can play in the shade. And then because Ollie goes, oh, but all my friends are out playing. Well, then don't lose your hat, bud.
We have a no hat, no play rule, so you can't even go outside.
They're allowed outside. They just have to be under the coal loose.
Right. My kids, not surprisingly, have never lost a thing at school.
Yeah, because your kids are like angels.
No, they're so not angels.
They're perfect in every way.
Let's just not.
They take after their mother.
No. Then they're definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, dad.
They take after their father.
Cow.
That's exactly right. One of the things that came to my mind when I was preparing for this episode in my mind and thinking about how do we help kids get back into the school routine and how do we understand our kids well, I came up with the switch versus dial concepts for kids. So tell me, Kirsty, if I'm right. Jesse and Ollie are like switches, like it's on and then they're on and then they're off and they're off. So in the morning, they wake up, switch. I'm ready, I'm go. I'm going to get home, I'm going to unpack my thing, turn off, I'm relaxing. Mm. Whereas Elijah and Emily, I sense more, are more like dials, like it's a slow turn up and a slow turn down. So some kids need a 5-minute warning. Hey guys, in 5 minutes we'll be leaving the house. Please make sure you've got your shoes and socks on. They're dial kids. The switch kids, they have their shoes and socks on. You just say we're walking out the house and they're there. And I think learning to parent and learning to get ready for school, knowing whether you've got a switch or a dial kid or one of each, as we both have, is really helpful. Because when I say to Elijah, get in the car, we're going, he's like, but you didn't tell me I haven't got my shoes on yet. Whereas Jesse always has his shoes on because he was ready an hour ago.
Mm.
And so when you've got a dial kid, just some of those, hey, just friendly reminders. Don't forget to take your lunchbox out of your bag.
Yeah. And I know we shared this in our school episode a couple of years ago, but I think it's a good tip, so I'm going to share it again. And it's my podcast. I can do what I want.
You sure can, sister.
Is we, when the kids were little, we put fun music on as our alarm.
That's for, right.
Getting out of the house, and I made it deliberately early. So I made it 10 minutes early, so I wasn't like, we're running late, now we're going to be late. It was like, turned up, made it go 10 minutes before, so that was their reminder to go and do their teeth and do their hair. And then there was one 5 minutes before, and that was their reminder to get their shoes and socks on, or their socks on, because we do shoes literally as we're walking out the door. So, and it was fun. It was fun music and happy music, like at the time when that was, it was literally happy.
Happy by Farrell? It's not Will Farrell, because that's, like, I always go to say Will Farrell, but
Pharrell Williams,
maybe? Yeah. We're so old, Kirst.
I know.
This is really
those
embarrassing.
Young people who play happy music. And then it was like Justin Timberlake from Trolls movie and stuff. So make it fun. So, it, you know, it's not you nagging and it's not your voice. And they're like, they don't tune out because they've already tuned, to be honest. Or is it just my kids? They've already tuned out to your voice. And you're nagging, so make it happy and make it music so it's not you nagging. So that's my number one tip for getting out of the house and making it early.
One of the things that a lot of families around the world find difficult is getting to school on time and giving their children enough time that they can get to the classroom, not just be like thrown out the door at the 2 minute drop off as the bell's going, but actually enough time to get into the classroom, put their water bottle on their desk, like just do the things so that they feel like they're calm before the teacher comes in.
Our kids aren't allowed into the classroom until, like, they line up.
Oh, on the outside with their bags.
Yeah.
Right. This is, as always, you get the polar opposites. Ours are allowed into the classroom by about 8:30, I think. Sometimes it's even earlier, but the teachers won't necessarily be there until 5 to 9. So they have time to unpack and settle in and not feel like they're rushed into the day. And so if you're struggling, I think maybe we'll try and come up with a few tips for you so that you can get your kids to school on time so that you don't feel harried and...
Make sure you're ready first.
Put your own air mask on first.
Yeah, get ready. And so figure out what time that is that you need to get up, but you get ready so that you're not trying to hustle them along and still trying to get your makeup on or, you know, your food ready. So that's... my tip. That's what
good
works
advice.
Best in our house. If I focus on the kids and get them ready and then look up and it's 5 to 8, that's when I start to go, I've got all this stuff to do before I can get out of the house and it's all your kids' fault. You made me.
Neighbor.
I don't actually ever blame them. It's not their fault. It's my choices.
But your children or your neighbours?
Yeah, my neighbour. My neighbour never blames her children because it's always her choices.
Yes,
and she,
that's
and
what
she
I thought
owns,
you meant.
She takes responsibility for her choices.
Your neighbour sounds great. I wonder if she'd want to host the podcast with me.
Another idea.
One of the things we did with our kids is when we first of all started off at school is explain to them the why of being on time. And I just said to them, when you're on time, you're more relaxed, you're more ready to learn. It's disrespectful to your teacher to be late. It's disrespectful to your classmates to be late. How do you feel? I don't know that we've ever been late for school, but how do you feel when other people come in, the roll's already been called and the teacher's distracted trying to get them onto the activity, and gave them a why? And so I've possibly gone a bit far because one of my kids is particularly anxious about ever being late for school. Mm. So I may have induced some anxiety rather than giving them the reasons that I intended to give them. But being late is disrespectful to yourself, to the people that are waiting for you. I'm a real stickler for time. Like over the top stickler for time. And so
if
you've ever booked like a phone call with me, I call you like as the second hand ticks over to the time I'm meant to call you. Like it's time is really important to me, and teaching my children that was important, and teaching them the why of being on time, not just because the rules say be on time, but because it actually reflects on who you are and how you treat other people.
I think another great way of having a calmer morning is to be prepared the night before.
Yeah.
Which is obviously lots of people do this who are working full time and have got a lot of stuff to get ready in the morning or have got lots of kids, but that's always helpful.
Or you're leaving the house earlier with after school care or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, because you've got a long day ahead of yourself, so you don't really want to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning just to be able to get out of the house.
What kind of things can you prepare the night before?
You can do all the food the night before. Mm-hmm. You can get kids to lay out their clothes the night before so that there's no question about where's my sports uniform, or I don't have the right bloomers today, or yeah. So getting ready the night before helps.
Yeah.
Because then you're not running around frantic finding that lost shoe.
We have had a couple of times in 2019 where there was a sports uniform needed at the last minute that had been worn the day before, so washed, but hadn't been dried yet. And there have been occasions where my young children have thrown their own things in the dryer, like, quick, quick, quick. And luckily, I've kept my hands off. And I'm like, if it's not dry, you don't get to wear your uniform and therefore you don't get to do sport. So they've learned over the course of time, better to do it the night before. It's also good for kids to have a look at their schedule the night before, particularly teenagers. Do you have anything that's due that you forgot about that it's better to know about so you can get up a little bit earlier and handle that? Is there a particular uniform you need? Are you in the band tomorrow when you need to have black pants, or all those kind of things, so that kids are prepared mentally before they go to bed so the morning isn't stressful and rushed?
Yeah, and that obviously depends on your children too, and depends on their level of anxiety and what is going on with them. So it's just, you know, parenting.
Yeah. Making it up as we go, people, making it up as we go. I would love you guys to jump into the Facebook page and let us know how late your child gets up for school. Like, what's the gap and the window of getting up versus needs to be at school? Because I reckon there's got to be some that are only like a 15, 20 minute gap between rolling out of bed and ending up in the classroom. I would love to hear how tight you can make it.
One of my best friends has kids like you.
Yeah.
Who's got one really early riser and he creeps downstairs and watches TV, watches the iPad. And then the other one has to be cajoled for like half an hour and then still is like grumpalicious coming down to eat breakfast. Whereas my kids both get up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But Emily loves, as you mentioned, Emily loves to come in and have a snuggle and I'm not allowed to be on my phone or doing anything else. I have to fully undivided attention for a little while. And whereas before I've even woken up, Ollie's got up, done everything. Yeah. If he's unwell or procrastinating going to school, like having something's going on at school, then he is bleary-eyed.
Right.
But then when Emily's got her cup filled, she's all over it.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's incredible, that child. Love her.
Well, you know your kids well, and I think that's really key. Any other gems of wisdom for our friends for going back to school, Kirst?
Just really recommend having space for grace in your week. So just, you know, seeing what you can say no to, seeing what you can cut out, particularly in that first term, going back and everybody settling in, or starting and everybody settling in, just having space for things to, for you to take a breath, for the kids to take a breath, for things to go pear-shaped and it not have a cascading effect on everything else that you're doing.
We've talked about this before on the podcast, but when my kids were little, we always had Wednesday was play date day. So in the playground where they're like, you know, kids come up, go, can Toby come home for a play this afternoon, or can Lucy come to our house? You go, yeah, on Wednesday. Next Wednesday. And that was a trick for us to really help that after school time not become crazy. Even when we didn't have lots of activities, I also wanted some nights where they'd just come home and shoot hoops in the backyard.
Mm.
I think you've got our iTunes reviews, don't you, in front of you?
I do.
You happy to read those out, baby?
I do. This one is called Headspace, and I don't know who it's by. But it says, after Amy's throwaway comment about selling Jessie's bike, which she's only just done.
Yeah, I did. like 3 weeks ago. Yes. It got picked up.
We looked at our garage with new eyes. In 48 hours, we've sold the treadmill, lawnmower, whippersnipper, and a large collection of model planes. How easy was that? We now have an extra $800 garage space and headspace. Love the weekly inspiration, Kirsty and Amy. Thank you. Sorry, we didn't catch who you are.
Sorry about that. I'm sure we did. I'm sure it's just my cut and paste that I've cut it off by accident.
Yeah, sorry. Katrina Kurtbill from Canada says, Amy and Kirst are awesome to listen to, inspiring and practical, and their accents are pretty okay by me too. Thank you so much, Katrina.
We hope that your kids have an amazing year at school this year, that you feel like it's calm and peaceful and in your control, and give them grace and love. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Yay. See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.